it doesn't appear like that.
When it appears, it's not mind, it's not citta, it's not nama, it's rupa.
Yeah, I see. Yeah. Mm.
When heart base appears, so just
heart base is rupa.
Yeah.
Not hardness. See?
It's rupa, we call it heart base, but it's so easy to associate it with body, Gaya.
Only that which citta arise and pass away,
yes.
See?
And then it's gone.
Citta cannot arise on hardness.
But by calling it heart base, we all think, we're there.
But what is it? That's where it
doesn't work. Unseen.
Unseen. Just a thinking about an idea.
Yes, exactly.
Just another concept.
It's a concept, but it's also a theory. It's good to get it right, because if you imagine it's arising in the brain or something, you've been infected by your education.
The scientists.
When they do heart transplants on people, mm-hmm. sometimes the recipient has cognitions of the previous person.
Yeah, that's hard to believe, but it's interesting, isn't it?
I don't know.
Have you heard that, Ajahn? Some heart transplant patients seem to have some similarities to the old heart. It's
but
amazing.
Not the heart base?
Yeah.
Because it's conditioned by karma.
When one is put onto a heart-lung machine, then one's heart is no longer beating.
But the heart, yeah. The Hathiyavatu is a tiny bit of blood inside the heart.
Yeah, well, that too wasn't going through the heart.
What do you mean? There's no blood circulating? There's still blood, right? So there it is. Somewhere among that blood is still the Hathiyavatu.
Well, I only asked that because I
went through that experience and knew nothing about it. Obviously, I have no recollection at all.
Experience where the Hathiyavatu was at that time. It's so tiny, Anne, that it's not even microscopic.
It's gone. No one can touch it. No one can cut it.
But it is rupa. We think of it as a rupa.
But it's like the eye base. The eye base is not the eye. It's a very infinitesimally tiny rupa in the centre of the eye. But without the eye itself, that rupa can't arise, that special tiny rupa, so it does rely on that eye.
And without the heart base, no other cheetahs can.
Well, that's what I was asking earlier about body sense. It arises.
And the body sense is not the heart base.
No, I realize that's different.
I think I'm right, Adam, to say that the body base is again very, very tiny, but it depends on the Mahabhuta rupas making up this. Body now.
Yeah.
Like when someone dies, there's no more body base, right?
Mm.
But the body looks more or less the same. So we see how tiny it is.
In the eight worldly conditions, I've always wondered, because praise and blame and loss and gain seem so worldly and conceptual, but pleasure and pain seem much more immediate and much more like dhammas rather than concepts. I wonder if I could ask.
It's included because there are four agreeable and disagreeable. Lab, your concern, and sukh, it's pleasant feeling. Lab is fortune. Okay. Your honor. Concern is praise and sukh.
Pleasant feeling.
It's also included in the worldly dhamma.
So all of those seemingly conceptual things come down to the reality of the pleasant, unpleasant feeling.
It depends on whether one cling to honor or praise or fortune or feeling.
And this is a bit related, but I think I read in one of your books, loss of possessions is vipaka. We were talking the other day about loss of possessions as vipaka. And I was,
what is vipaka?
Seeing,
hearing, smelling, tasting, touching.
You found a quote in one of your books about
the story about vipaka.
Well, again, loss of possessions felt like a worldly thing, and I couldn't see it as a result of karma. And our friend Han was explaining it. I couldn't completely understand what he was saying, but
well, just worldly, conventional ideas about good and bad experiences of going to the dentist or this or that, but
it's just conventional ideas like of having positions or not having positions, but actually this is not Vipaka.
But if we think I lost my job because of the result of karma, that's wrong. It seems like wrong understanding.
I think one of the things we were discussing was whether gain and loss of possessions is a result of karma or not. And I think Phil's question was, why is this a worldly possession and not vipaka?
So you have to understand each moment, whether it's seeing and pleasant or pleasant object. And it forms the whole story.
So when the Buddha is talking about the various worldly conditions, gain and loss, praise and blame, these are just worldly explanations, but pointing to moments of kusala and akusala vipaka.
It depends on how you understand
yes.
the story, the whole, or just the particular,
the particular one.
One.
Is it good to know both?
Yeah.
Should know both sides.
He was saying, is it good to know both the
Chaka? Good to know everything.
Just to make sure, my question is about karma and vipaka. You were saying that it depends whether one knows the general or the particular. And I said, is it good to know both the general and the particular?
We can say loosely or very precisely.
Very precisely. And both are useful to some degree.
But not enough to know the general.
Not enough.
The general refers to what loss of possessions, something bad happening, whatever, whereas the specific is understanding the processes of citta, vipaka citta, being a gamma coming to fruition. But in fact, is it not more correct understanding to understand vipaka as being vipaka citta?
But you know, there's a difference between praise and honor, although both may be analyzed down to similar experiences, but the conventional pointing to is different. I mean, praise and honor are different realities.
Different realities that are taken for praise and honor, though.
Yeah. I mean, it's good to know realities, of course, to have satipatthana, but if you are to understand the eight worldly conditions, without the conventional description, then we don't have the eight worldly conditions. Then we have only nama and rupa, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then how do we distinguish them?
Right. So praise and honor being different from each other, praise, I guess I need someone to explain further to me.
What you like to hear.
Yeah, so particular sounds
are
taken for praise.
You are so brave in your operation. I'm impressed. No, really. That's so honest. And that's conditioned by certain chittas condition that sound, right?
Yeah,
to
hearing.
And then the hearing.
Yes.
Yeah.
When we talk about the absolute reality, it's much more details than just that.
Yes.
Otherwise, Buddha will talk just about concept.
Okay, I understand that one. But what about somebody was saying the loss of a job? Well, we don't want to hear that.
It will bring to loss of many things in life.
Yes.
Mm. Pleasant objects through eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and body.
So if it came from something I was told, I heard, that would be
conditioned for the unpleasant experiences later.
I always thought that
maybe, maybe not, it depends.
Yeah, maybe I'm happy to get rid of it.
No matter how much you have, you still be uncomfortable because of lopa and akusala.
It may just be because of akusala, it may not be any vipaka, it may just be more.
It can be the measurement of the attachment of akusala. How much one clings, never enough.
Yes, but that's again not vipaka, that's akusala.
Yes, maybe. Like the example this morning, Al's example about Phil not getting the bed and akusala vipaka, but actually you can't say there's any akusala vipaka involved, maybe dosa, but we can't say when we're specific.
Well, I guess that's where I'm coming, because we can't know. Using a conventional situation to describe vipaka. You'll hear people who don't understand at all or whatever saying, oh, well, I missed my bus, akusala vipaka.
Well, what what Ajahn said about her, the example of losing your job, which leads to loss of money, then through the sixth sense doors, that means less soft chairs, less beautiful surroundings, etc., etc. So it leads to more, less pleasant objects through the eyes, ears, nose, taste, and can.
And it can be the measurement of one's own understanding and kilesa too. Yeah, because the wise one will not be moved by all these things. Mm-hmm. And gain, no matter loss and gain. The wise one, the one who understands, will not be moved by all these situations. Because it's only the worldly dhamma.
Right. So in some ways, the more understanding, the more banya, the less
clinging.
But you once, I think, mentioned that these, for example, the when we read about these worldly conditions like gain and loss and praise and blame, it's actually just pointing to the pleasant and unpleasant.
It can point
feeling.
To the result of previous karma or the present moment of akusala.
So both.
Because no one can escape from the result of karma and the akusala.
So for the wise, he receives the result part, but not the akusala part.
Both.
Both.
With right understanding. Now, kusala vipaka or akusala vipaka?
Both. One at a time.
One at a time. Like the sound.
The sound, like the hardness, the akusala vipaka, or the hearing dhamma, is the kusala vipaka. How about sleepiness? I feel a bit sleepy now. Is sleepiness sloth,
not you?
Sloth and torpor.
Not you. A reality. Yeah.
But is it akusala or vipaka, the sleepiness?
It depends on when we talk about the seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, they are vipaka. But when we talk about pleasant or unpleasant feeling, it's not vipaka.
But sometimes sleepiness is like hardness in the body or something, is it? Sometimes it's just akusala, I don't know.
Can the body be sleepy?
I guess not.
Mm-hmm. Can the table be sleepy?
No.
So it's a kind of feeling.
But that can be conditioned by the body rupa.
Right.
I see. That's very good. Yeah.
And akusala.
And akusala.
Dosa, unpleasant.
Through the body sense. Unpleasant really, through the body sense. And akusala about that.
Yeah. Is sleepiness pleasant?
Depends.
It is.
Pleasant? The sleepiness?
Pleasant feeling. It accompanied by pleasant feeling.
Is it?
Can it arise with dosa?
Yeah, I think so.
You just want to sleep? So that state is not pleasant to be sleepy?
Well, it depends on the sleep.
It can be very pleasant or it can be very unpleasant.
I think the sleep is pleasant, but sleepiness, I don't know whether it's pleasant.
It's dull. Sleepiness is dull.
We tend to resist it.
Told you can't sleep now, it sure it isn't.
Because it can sleepy. Condition lobha to sleep.
Mm. And the lobha is present, wanting to sleep.
Yeah. Yes, that's for that.
And wanting to sleep.
It's the lobha.
Sleepiness isn't.
Wanting to sleep and having the opportunity.
Knowing that you can.
Is it time to sleep?
Ajahn, earlier you spoke about the space occupied by the kalapa being occupied by lopa.
It was a metaphor.
Yes, I know it was a metaphor, but I'm thinking of the attachment to understanding. As soon as you begin to talk about understanding, a lot of attachment wanting to understand.
How do you know that?
Because
whether it's chanda or whether it's lopa, wanting to understand with?
I suppose that's what I'm asking that it seems to be hard to distinguish between,
because it's not the direct experience. It's only thinking about.
So it's an opportunity for awareness to be aware of the thinking, not the
awareness. Awareness depends on conditions, not from this or that. When there's more and more understanding, it can condition direct awareness at any time. So one can see that even awareness itself is conditioned. By wanting, it cannot condition direct awareness at all.
Going back to asking the questions, and I think you said one asks the questions, and it is often attachment that asks the question.
It depends.
It can be chanta also, mm-hmm. It can be wholesome chanta too.
I know the answer, but I'll ask anyway. What knows? What knows?
Great understanding with direct awareness only. Can you?
So it must be direct awareness.
Because they're all gone.
Yes.
And we keep on thinking about them.
Okay.
You want to have that great understanding?
Well, there you go. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Because it seems like, how can it be known without the direct understanding?
And do you want to have?
Yes, that's why the question.
That's the wrong way.
Yes, that's why I'm
And if there's thinking of one thing now about what motivated the asking the question a few moments ago, then what's that kind of chitta now when there's that thinking and wondering what it was that passed already?
That's thinking.
Yes. Just attachment, trying to work out what it was asked.
I feel that there needs to be more said around that to somehow clarify the difference between that akusala nature.
At the moment now, when we're asking about the Dharma or taking an interest in the Dharma, different moments of chanda, wholesome interest, and moments of attachment. Mm-hmm. But at moments now, we're all wondering, oh, what motivated us to speak like this 10 minutes ago or half an hour ago? It's just thinking about the past,
now.
Isn't it?
Or even just now.
Or even just now. It's just kind of dwelling on the past, so it's just thinking about what happened, but unlikely to be kusala at that moment, because it's not the present object then.
However, this discussion is useful to help recognise that.
Yes, exactly, because at this moment of questioning and wondering, then it's taking an interest in the Dharma. That's different from just thinking about the story about what happened before. So different moments all the time, even in a...
And yet it seems that even though we say now, like then and now, it's still story. We are still talking in terms of story about a Dharma.
So it's just only thinking about it, but now what can be known directly is the seeing now, the hearing now, the thinking now, no matter what it's thinking about, whether it's thinking about what's gone or what's going to happen. It's just thinking now.
And yet that now is so elusive, because as soon as we are speaking about it, it is at the level of story and concept.
But it's... This is Pariyatti reflecting about present Dharma, not past Dharma.
How present?
What appears now.
And that's why I'm saying that the now has to be conceptual, because when we're talking about what appears, it is already gone.
So then, more Dharmas. Dharma Dharmas.
Is this an example of what you talked earlier about, the anusaya of diti, trying to work out what happened? We wonder what just happened, and we're asking questions, trying to get the answers.
For oneself, or for the sake of understanding?
Well,
better.
It's for the sake of understanding.
So it's not for you.
But the thing is, we were talking about the difference between what just past already,
mm-hmm.
and thinking about it and wondering about
mm-hmm.
it, as against what appears now. So there is a difference between the two, understanding whatever appears now and trying to analyze what happened. So the question is that trying to analyze what happened,
Can it be with Panya?
It depends on the moment, because Panya can consider what has been heard about the realities.